Good morning, Justin Scott Spiegel, and joined in studio, just as we'd promised, Madam Mayor Catherine Pugh joins us. Good to see you again, Madam Mayor.
Good morning. Good morning.
Last time we saw you was at the Baltimore Running Festival. You're out there, all ready
Thank
to go.
You.
Had the sneakers, had the tights on, had a great time.
Ran the first leg of the team marathon.
Was that 7 miles? 6 miles?
Just about.
Well,
good for
they
you.
Would want me to say it's 5.8 miles.
5.8. We'll round it up to six for you.
Up the hill.
I had interns carry me to the car.
Meanwhile, all the way up.
You're running.
Since then, I've joined a running club. You've inspired me.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. I'm very proud.
Did
very
5 miles yesterday.
I've done jiu-jitsu twice and have been choked out twice. So I wish I was running.
Right. I had yesterday, you know what a chocolate cigar is?
Oh, that's not right.
No.
That is so wrong.
No, not smoking it. You know, you've never seen a chocolate?
No.
In a bakery?
No.
I go to the bakery every day.
Is that your training regimen?
The question should be, how many steps has he taken towards the bakery?
Good point.
And how many steps does he take leaving the bakery?
Well, I had two chocolate cigars. I'm not proud of it.
Oh, wow. See's Candy makes chocolate cigars.
Get him a Fitbit. Get him a Fitbit.
Yeah, well, Christmas, Hanukkah's coming. Madam Mayor, we're very happy that you're able to join us. We obviously wish it was under more positive circumstances, like at the Baltimore Running Festival. It was a great time getting to see you there.
Yep.
And I obviously wanted to start off this conversation by paying you a compliment, and it's not one that I'm paying you to blow smoke. I mean this. I've said this earlier before you're on the air, and even before today, was that we've had relationships with politicians in this town before that. It's a real Jekyll and Hyde thing. We'll talk to them on the microphone, and even their body language, demeanor, everything is, oh, yes, we're very excited about the city. The minute the microphone turns off and it's cold, icy, disappear, doesn't want to make eye contact, yada. I won't get into specifics, but the compliment that I've paid is that, the mayor that we talk to on the microphone is the same person that we talk to off. And, I got a good dose of that at that Baltimore Running Festival. Just kind, conversational. You talked to everyone that came up to you. It didn't seem like you paid anybody any lip service. It doesn't seem like you're putting on a front. True blue, as I said, someone that seems like you do genuinely care about a city that right now could use some caring for.
Well, we need a lot of caring for them. But let me just say thank you for the compliment. And I am sad that we are here under the problems that we're facing, and we are facing some serious problems, gun violence being among the worst problem that the city suffers from, and shootings. And I tell people, that every time somebody's shot, every time somebody's killed, every time somebody's cut, every time a fire breaks out, it comes to this phone. The phone rings. And so I'm very much aware and in tune with the violence that's taking place in our city, which is why I spend time on the streets, walking through neighborhoods and communities, riding through some, concerned about many. And one of the reasons I talk about the need to and am expanding safe streets is because, you talk about targeting violence in areas that are violent, but the reality is everybody in the city deserves a safe street. And so we're looking at expanding safe streets across the entire city, because when people talk about zoning areas where and targeting, and I'm saying, well, if you're targeting this area, then it's going to move over here or it's going to move over there. And neighborhoods that have not experienced violence begin to experience violence as well. And so I just believe that we've got to expand safe streets across the entire city so that everybody feels the same safety and gets the same attention.
Do you have a relationship with, I believe it's Ben Jealous, formerly from the NAACP. He was on a recent program of ours. I think he's running for governor at some point. He was just another local politician that he educated me about the Safe Streets program and how it's in four neighborhoods right now.
It needs to be in every neighborhood.
It needs to be in every neighborhood.
It has to be in every neighborhood. And that's why we're expanding it. That's why we're going to put more money in it. Because it has to be, every neighborhood deserves to be safe.
Can you explain what the Safe Streets program
is
for those that don't know?
Safe Streets basically targets and puts resources and tries to make sure that we've got people on the streets who are disruptors of violence. It also targets resources to those particular areas. For example, every morning at 8 a.m., we've got all of the agencies meeting along with the police department and those commanders in those targeted areas, And so what I've said is that every commander needs to be there so that we can target every specific area, so that we know when lights are out, so that we know when alleys are filled, so that we know when people are standing on corners in large numbers, and that we become disruptors and try to curb the violence in those communities and neighborhoods. And I just believe that every neighborhood deserves the same kind of attention.
And Mayor Pugh, you said a couple of weeks ago that crime is out of control in the city. Those were your exact words.
Yes.
And it surprised me that you said that. I mean, not because crime isn't out of control, but you don't really hear a politician saying that, admitting that. But you talked about how, like you just said, that you're meeting every day with dozens of agency heads
twice
in the
day,
city.
Actually.
Yeah. So with crime out of control, and I think that was before the police detective was murdered, and that was before the
Alex Robleski.
Yes, a friend of Scott was shot and killed at Locust Point. Why should people who live in the city now not be packing their bags and heading for the suburbs as fast as possible if crime is out of control?
Let me just say that that's not what we're experiencing. What I'm saying is that...
Oh, it's happening.
So what I'm saying, I know you're upset.
No, I'm not. I mean,
you are upset. And, you know, it's happening, but people also moving into the city. You know, we had 7,000 new people move into the city. So, you know, I'm looking at the data every single day. And I would be upset if I were you as well. But let me just say, I'm upset every single time this phone rings, every time some...
What are we going to do? What are we doing? Safe streets is great, Madam Mayor.
So
this city is it's slipping away.
Let me just say this, because you're angry. So why don't, if you want to know what I'm doing, which is why I'm here, as people know, I don't run away from the media. Every Wednesday, I hold a press conference to bring people up to date, to let them know what I'm doing, because I took this responsibility to help make this city better. And I work every single day to make that happen. And so when I came into office, Alex, you should know that, you know, there was a consent decree that had not been crafted. And so I got that done. There was a school system that needed $190 million. So I got that done. There's a police department that's positions have been frozen for 2 years. And so the attrition rate, officers leaving the police department faster than we're able to hire them. Do you know how long it takes to get a police officer on the streets of our city? Do you have any idea?
How long, Madam Mayor?
No, I'm just asking you. Do you know?
No, I don't know, of course.
Okay,
why would I know that?
Let me explain it to you.
Okay, that's all great.
Let me just say, because you, first of all, everybody wants a police officer on every corner. So 2 years ago, we froze police positions in our city, talking about saving cost. But the reality is that you had more police officers leaving, and then you froze positions. So it takes 9 months to go through a background check. It takes 10 and a half months, which is the mandated training period for a police officer that they have to go through. So that's 19 and a half months. So the first thing I did was focus on how do we get more police, unfroze every single position, and said hire as many police officers as quickly as we can, which is what we're doing. But what happened, I looked at the 9.5 months of background check. Are you kidding me? I said, let's cut that time down. So we cut it down to 6 months. Now we cut it down to 3 months. But you don't get to cut down to 10.5 months of training. So it now takes about 13.5 months for the average, because you can't change that. That is the reality.
Let me ask you, as the government tries to deal with and get a handle on the violence, what, you know, people feel helpless. Who live in the city, who work in the city, what can the average citizen or person who works in the city do on their own to protect themselves? Because the government can't be everywhere at once.
Well, but we can do things to make it better.
But what advice would you give to...
First of all, I think we've got to do our part. You know, 77,000 lights in the city, and we're changing them out because they don't brighten the city the way that they should. 6,000 new lights that we've put on, that we've changed out completely, put new lights in, so adding to the 70-some-odd thousand lights, because there are areas of the city that are just too dark. So I've ordered us to change out all of those lights in the city. I think the thing that we need to focus on is, among the things that we have to focus on, is making sure that our young people are in school, in after-school programs. We opened up our rec centers on Friday nights till 11 o'clock, and then on Saturday nights till midnight. We are also putting steam into those centers to make sure that we have activities. This last week, we had about 2,000 young people in the rec centers throughout the city. So we're trying to brighten up the streets. We're going to put more police officers. I've also identified another 100 positions in the police department that are civilianized, that we're going to take police officers that are sitting in civilian positions and putting them on the streets so that we can have more of a presence of police officers in our communities throughout the city. And so, you know, I know people are upset. I know people get angry, but I have to stay focused on doing what's necessary and important to move the city forward. And you're absolutely right. There are people who are living in fear, and we want to erase those fears. And so, you know, we're trying to create additional presence, programming, educational programming, working with the homeless, getting homeless people up off the streets of our city.
Is this going to take years to
My
fix?
Prayer is that it doesn't. Getting the police officers on the streets. As I said, we've got a class graduating in February. We've got another class that just got their badge and gun ceremony, so that's about another 66. We've got to hire like about 400 police officers, and you can't freeze positions. And we tried to pass, in fact, when the New York police officer who wrote the article in the Sun papers about what needs to be done, we checked most of the things that he asked that we do, we're doing. But the other issue is getting guns off the streets of our city. We have too many guns on the streets of this city. I put forth legislation that got watered down because I think that there ought to be mandatory for folks who have come in contact with the criminal justice system. And you will see 89% of the individuals who commit crimes in the city have been in contact with the criminal justice system 9 to 11 times.
Yeah, that's so what I wanted to address. Yeah, so, is when does we have Madam Catherine Pugh in studio. And when does it just seems that, you know, the legislation and the judicial system, a lot of these people are repeat offenders, and they're back on the streets, just to commit these crimes again. And then, you know, when something horrific happens, you look at their record and you say, how is this person even out on the street to commit this atrocity? And when do we get tougher with that and get these people off the street and keep them off the street?
So the legislation that I put forward required mandatory jail time. And the advocates for the bill weren't there. The advocates against the bill won out. And so the bill was watered down. The bill that I put forth required mandatory sentencing. And that did not pass, and so it is left to the criminal justice system, which I don't control, the judges, to, you know, give people sentences instead of suspending sentences and putting them back out on the streets.
And the Safe Streets program that we talked about earlier, when I was educated about it last week, the four neighborhoods in question, Cherry Hill, McKeldry Park, Park Heights, and Sandtown Winchester, it does appear to work, and it appears that there are hundreds and hundreds of days that will go by without a firearm homicide in those neighborhoods where they're at. Now, as you said earlier, they're in just far too few neighborhoods. There needs to be more. And one of the things that I find interesting about this program is that the people that are involved in it have prior street experience. This
right.
isn't, you know, some Ivy League educated guy out there, you know, with a folder in his hand. No, this is like people with former gang involvement, former criminal history, mm-hmm. people that were victims of shootings, that people right. are part of the drug trade.
We These call
are people
them disruptors.
That, disruptors that
Absolutely.
Are trying to undo their wicked ways and turn these around. Why can't we get more than just these four neighborhoods right now? Because it seems the numbers are there that it does work.
But that's what I just said. We're putting additional monies in Safe Streets because I said the city needs to be covered citywide, not just four particular neighborhoods, because we've shown the data. And so not only are we just waiting, we're actually looking at expanding that, and we're putting additional dollars into that particular program and expanding it citywide. I mean, that is a high priority for us. What that means is that We're looking at an additional, I think, five programs across the city so that every single neighborhood is covered. But I can tell you that there are groups that are out there working with us. I'm out there. In fact, when we were expanding one particular area of the city and working with the Nation of Islam, they said, look, you don't have to come out. I'm out there at 9:30 at night and 10 o'clock in neighborhoods. I'm walking the streets. I'm seeing the activity that's taking place. I tell people I don't take this lightly. You know, my day starts at 4 o'clock, 5 a.m. in the morning, and it doesn't end until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm that concerned and that focused on these problems.
You're only getting 2 hours of sleep?
2 to 3 hours.
Oh, man.
But people
well, let's
know.
Hope it pays off. I mean, we'll see, right? He's like you said, it's going to take time. And I don't know. It's just hard to remain hopeful. That's all. You know, it's hard to
know that we want
see the
to.
Light. And, you know, I love this city. Well, I've said that a million times. So let me talk. You've talked enough. I've lived here for 12 years. I mean, you haven't had we haven't really talked. We haven't had a chance to answer a lot of questions.
Question, I always like to answer the question.
I wasn't a question. Form. It was a statement. I
no,
said
I was
it's,
saying
it's
him.
Hard
I was
to remain. It's hard to remain
question.
Hopeful. You know, we all love this city. We've. Why are you looking over at him?
Scott's a little.
I'm just trying to talk. I apologize, Madam Mayor, but I was just trying to make a statement, and I didn't mean to say you've talked enough. I just meant it's now time for me to make a statement, and I was just trying to talk about the hope of the city, and it's hard to remain hopeful, and we have a lot of people in this city who are I just as much as you're ingrained in the city, I'm ingrained in the city as well. I have a lot of family and friends that live in the city. That don't feel safe and they don't feel hopeful. So I said it's in time. We'll see. And hopefully all these changes that you make and are trying to make will pay off because this is a great city. I love this city. I love the people of this city. And hopefully it turns around. And I apologize if I stepped out of line there. But like you said, it's a very passionate issue.
The wounds are still fresh in here, Madam Mayor. And we do apologize and we do appreciate you taking the time. It's just... You know, we want to believe as much as we know you believe that the city can recover. We want it to. And we believe that your policies should be funded and given the patience and given the time to succeed, can succeed. Scott made a point last week. He said something that I think this will resonate with you. He said he never thought he'd be someone that knew someone that was murdered.
Yeah, it's...
And it hung heavy in the air with us.
I mean, I can't speak for Scott, but I, you know... Don't take personally.
Yeah, I apologize.
He's very angry. I mean, just last week, his friend was murdered, and he's just very, very emotional right now. So it's nothing personal.
And so I spent.
Now I can see it in your face. Now this is it's tough.
Yeah, but I'm hopeful.
I know, and I am too. It's just so hard.
When you come into a position, and things are frozen.
I know.
And people don't understand what it takes to get a police officer on the street.
I couldn't imagine being in your position.
When you have a budget process that doesn't work, and so you change the budget process so that your priorities are met, which is this budget process coming up. When you come into a city and schools are don't have resources,
yeah.
And the city's school budget is $1.8 billion, and yours is $2.8 billion for the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a police force that is does not have enough police officers on the street. I mean, all you have to do is do the numbers.
Yeah, nice.
If in fact, you're losing 16 police officers a month or 20 police officers a month, that tells you you're going to be 300-400 police officers under. Everybody deserves to have the same kind of coverage in every single community. So what do? You say unfreeze January, unfreeze all those positions. Make sure we hire as many as you can.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to show you is that
I'm hearing it. I'm hearing everything you're saying.
21 months before you would have seen a police officer on the street. A new police officer on the street. So you go inside of the police department and you find 100 positions and you say, put those officers on the street. And then you say, shorten that. You can't shorten the training process. So then shorten the process by which you evaluate
screen
a police
them.
Officer, screen them, and get them on the street. We've cut
Madam
it down
Mayor,
from
I'm
9 months.
All.
We
Let's
cut
hope.
It down from 9 months to 3 months.
Yeah.
And three quarters of the time that we've been able to do because of the smart people that we've hired, the technology that we're putting in place. In 1998, they put computers in police cars in Prince George's County, in Montgomery County. We didn't have them. So what did I do? I went to the governor, got $2 million to put technology in our police cars so that they could respond more quickly. You know, I look at the lack of technology, the lack of investment, and we sit there and talk about cutting budgets when, in fact, we should be talking about expanding budgets.
I'll tell you what,
making sure we have police officers on our streets, that we pass laws that make sense, that get criminals off of our streets. I know the numbers like the back of my hand. As much as you're hurting, I hurt
I know.
Every
and
single
listen,
day for every single person.
The passion you have displayed here this morning and the love that I can see you have for the city is like something we haven't seen in the past.
I'll go Trust back me. To my very first Trust statement when you that. First came into the
yes.
studio. We spoke with the former mayor and former politicians that came in, and it sounded like they were reading off of cue cards. And if you're not looking on LiveWire right now, I'm looking at the pain in your eyes,
yes.
and I'm reading your body language. And this is, I'm not speaking as a mayor. I'm not speaking as a woman, as a resident, a person that cares about this city. I mean it. I'm reading on your face right now.
Yeah,
this is not lip service.
Listen,
this isn't political grandstanding. This isn't you on a soapbox. This is you, someone that wants to fix the city. And I think this mutual hurt, I think it needs to get awkward. What Josh said at the beginning of the conversation, you don't hear politicians say crime is out of control, shootings are out of control. You're honest in that regard. And I don't think there's enough honest discussions like this. There doesn't need to be, and pardon my language, but just kissassery amongst people that are, you know, tell us about the Strawberry Festival coming up and all this. We don't need that. We need conversations like this. This is going to get it fixed, and this is going to keep it honest. And we appreciate you for keeping honest. And this is not comfortable, but we're not in a comfortable situation.
No.
The
so
city
thank
is
you.
Not comfortable. Yeah. I'm not comfortable. You know, I look at when 65 people laid in front of City Hall because they wanted to demonstrate about homelessness, and I was, you know, they'll be okay. No, they won't be okay. So what do? I go outside. I talk to the 65 individuals. I move them to a place so they could get up off the streets. They've been moved into the women are living in a dormitory style facility. The mothers with children, we got into homes right away. You know, into apartments and homes. Right, we've opened up 75 new slots for homeless people. We're looking at creating 300 homes for the homeless in the next year. So, you know, I tell folks, I've looked at it not just through the lens of, you know, what the budget looks like. What does the city need? So if you ask me, for example, what is it going to cost to end homelessness in our city? I'll tell you, it's $350 million. If you ask me, what is it going to cost to redo the city in terms of the boarded up houses and so forth that also help create the crime
oh, yeah.
in our city, that's another $850 million. And I tell my folks, don't think about it in terms of, you know, what your budget is right now, because I'm going to go out and find it. When I'm talking to the Ford Foundation or the philanthropic community, I'm asking for help because the city can't do it by itself. And that's why everybody has to be a part of this. And so when I came in the office, I said, the city's dark. The neighborhoods that are just too dark. Change these lights out. I'm not asking you how much it costs because I'm going to go find the money to make it happen. But what I'm asking folks to do is to not give up and not to not have hope. And I understand the pain and suffering because, again, you know, I suffer every single time someone is hurt in this city. You know, to hold the hand of a wife whose husband is killed or shot or whatever that is, and to stay there 24 hours to make sure that she's comfortable and understands, and to sit there and talk to the doctors and say, please just tell her the truth so she can know what she has to deal with. Unless you've had someone, as you've had, go through this, then you don't understand the pain. And that's why when I look at the city, I look at it from a total perspective. And when we say safe streets in particular neighborhoods, I say safe streets for the entire city.
Madam Mayor Catherine Pugh, thank you for being a human first and a politician second. And thank you for taking the time here with us this morning.
Thank you.
All right, take care.